I would like to welcome you to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast featuring inspiring messages by Pastor Wintley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney. I'm your host for today's program, and the message that Pastor Phipps is going to bring to us today is entitled Thanksgiving in the Father's House. I invite you to stay tuned to this very special message on this very special day. Please stay with us.
When you think you're all alone, finally count the cost. When you take up Jesus' cross, he said, blessed are you. Blessed are you who love the name, standing for Jesus unashamed. Blessed are you whose trust is in
Father, we thank you so much for the blessings we've already received. We thank you that you're with us as we climb the rough side of the mountain. Now, as we open your word, Lord, I ask that you would speak to our hearts. I humbly ask you, Lord, to take control of this service and have your way, Lord. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Fill my life with your Holy Spirit's presence and power. And use me for your name's honor and glory alone, and I'll always be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 My message this morning, Thanksgiving in the Father's house. Thanksgiving in the Father's house. A certain man, said Jesus, had two sons. The younger son was restless and adventurous. At an early age, he began rebelling, making noises about getting away from his father's house. And one day he said to his father, I'd like to have my inheritance while I'm still young enough to enjoy it. Now, the father knew that this would not be best for the son, but the father acquiesced. The father went on and let him have his inheritance. Sometimes, as much as you would like to save your children from their poor judgment, sometimes you have to acquiesce and allow them to make their own mistakes, as painful as that can be. This young man wanted to forget that he even had a father. His father, on the other hand, had to allow his son the right to be an individual. Yes, the right to be wrong. I'm sure some of you have things you want to talk to God about when you get to heaven. I know I do. And one of the things I'd like to talk to God about is why he so often would acquiesce to the ill-advised wishes of men. I want to know why he lets us make some of the foolish choices we make. I want to know why he didn't stop us from making such fools of ourselves. Oh, are you with me this morning? I found that sometimes when you don't know better, God will step in and save you from yourself. But he doesn't always do it. Because I've always also seen that when you know better and choose to go your own way, God lets you suffer. Have mercy. The consequences of your own decisions. When the children of Israel asked for food to eat, God gave them manna from heaven. They said to the Lord, yeah, that's nice of you, Lord, but we want quail. God said, quail is not best for you, but Lord, that's what we want. Well, if that's what you want, here it is, said the Lord. You're going to have more quail than you'll ever want to see. You remember when the children of Israel said, we want a king. God said, but I am your king. They said, Lord, that's nice, but we want to be like the other nations. We want a king like everybody else. God said, well, that's not best, but if that's what you want, here's salt. Church, when that son said to his father, I want my inheritance and I want it now, his father reluctantly acquiesced to the ill-advised wishes of his son. With great sorrow, he reluctantly divided the inheritance between his two boys, gave the younger his share of the money. That young man packed his bags, bought a first-class ticket to Sin City, and it was party, party, party. He was so glad to be out of his father's house. He was tired of that old man's advice, tired of that old man's counsel. And when that young man hit Sin City, he was in good shape. As the young people would say today, he was hooked up. He was the new kid on the block. He was popular with the girls. He had new money and plenty of it. He had more freedom than he had ever had in his life. And he threw himself into a life of sin and debauchery. That's real bad sin. It wasn't long before he had spent all of his money, and it's amazing how your phone stops ringing when you're broke. Believe me, nobody can spend your money like the devil can spend your money. And when you're broke, he pulls the rug out from under you. This young man was foolish, he was immature, he was confused, as too many young people do. He saw himself as being invincible. It wasn't long before he realized that he had made a terrible mistake. His money was gone, his friends, even his partners in crime, were gone. Morally, spiritually, he knew he was sinking fast, but his pride would let him go back to his father's house. His pride would not let him admit that he had made a mistake. Brothers and sisters, the servant of the Lord says that whatever the appearance may be, life that is centered in self is squandered. Whoever attempts to live apart from God is wasting his substance. When you live apart from God, you are squandering the precious years, squandering the powers of your mind, your heart, and soul, and you are working to make yourself bankrupt for eternity. Have mercy, Jesus. When this young man's money ran out, he had to go to work. He had been having such a good time, he had forgotten what work was. Probably forgotten how to spell work. But with the famine there, unemployment was high. The stock market was down. This young man couldn't find work to save his life. His whole world just came crashing in around him, and he searched for work everywhere, but to no avail. Finally, in desperation, and you know desperation will push you from your pedestal of pride. Let me say that again. Desperation will push you from your pedestal of pride. And in desperation, he accepted what was considered for a Jew the lowest job of all. He found a job paying less than minimum wage, feeding swine and pigs. Boy, sin will take you down. And if you're foolish and you're fooling around with those who are fooling with sin, they'll take you down with them. You see, for Jews, pigs were considered the lowest form of life. They were the lowest of all animals. Now, it's one thing to eat pigs, but you have to be in really bad shape to eat what the pigs have left over from their meal. And that's as low as you can go. Help me, Jesus, this morning. Things had gotten so bad for that young man that he was glad to snack on what the pigs had left over. Whenever you turn your back on God, it's just a matter of time before you hit rock bottom. You may coast a while, but it's just a matter of time. This young man from godly parents had gone so far down the ladder, he could go no further. And one day as he looked pensively at the mess he had made of his life, he realized that in everybody's book, he was a failure. In his own eyes, he was a failure. He began to look back to the wasted hours, the broken promises, the mistakes, the sins of his past. And I like the way the King James Version put it. It simply says he came to himself. When he recognized his desperation, he came to himself. When he recognized his sin and his folly, he came to himself in humility and repentance. He said to himself, "This is enough. I've had it. No matter, brothers," he said, "no matter what it takes, no matter the cost, I will go back to my Father, ask for his forgiveness. I'll be willing to do whatever he tells me to do. I'm willing to be one of his lowest servants." Humiliated through adversity, he had no decent clothing. He was emaciated from hunger. This young man said, "I'm going back to my Father." The moment he decided to go to his father's house, the moment he changed his mind, in that moment, a transformation began. No longer was he proud and arrogant, self-willed. He was humble, penitent. He wanted nothing more than to be back in his father's house again. And all the way back home, that young man was wondering what kind of reception he would expect from his father. You would too. I'm sure that there were times when his hope must have faltered, times when confidence in his father's positive response failed him. I'm sure there were times when he must have wondered, "Should I go on?" That young man wasn't sure what his father would do or how his father would receive him. He wasn't sure of what his father would say. He wasn't even sure what he was going to say to his father. Would his father say, "See there, I told you so"? Would his father say, "I told you you wouldn't amount to anything"? Would his father say, "You had your chance and you blew it. You squandered all my money. Don't come to me now"? Oh, but thank God that young man wouldn't let any of those thoughts turn him around. He just kept coming. And as he rounded the bend, he could see the familiar sight of his father's house from a distance. His heart began to beat a little faster. His steps began to slow down. This was his moment of truth. And my Bible tells me that while that son was at a distance from his home, that the father saw him. That father had been sitting in his usual place, have mercy, scanning the horizon for the form of that wayward son of his, the son he believed would come home one day, because the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart." When that young man was afar off, the father recognized him, even though sin had disfigured his youthful frame, had marred his countenance, the father could still recognize his son. He was able to make out his young son under the remnants of his own image. Have mercy. His son was emaciated, clothed with beggar's rags, but he could recognize him. Hallelujah. His feet was marred and soiled with the dust of the journey home, but the father could recognize him. That father couldn't even wait for his son to come all the distance to the steps of the house. At first, he started to walk like a dignified parent would. You know how we are. Are you with me? You know how we are. We, with our children, we try to be cool. We're not going to let our hair down if we have any. That young man put his head down in shame, but when he looked back up, he couldn't believe his eyes in the distance coming towards him. He saw an old man clutching his robe, running down that dusty road with all his might. The father's pity, Ellen White said, was excited. Pity, excited. As the son fell prostrate in humility before him, but that father did not make him feel how low he had sunk. He lifted him up and kissed him. Took the rebellious son to his breast, wrapped his own rich robe around his almost naked son, took him to his heart with such warmth, says Ellen White in the third volume of the Testimonies. He grabbed him and held him so tight that if the son had ever doubted the goodness and love of his father, he could doubt no more. That young man leapt into the father's arms, and the father threw his robe around him. Father embraced his son, kissed him. His son had returned. The young man began to say his now well-rehearsed words, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." "Not now," said his father. "Not now." This is a time for praise. This is a time for thanksgiving. This is a time to celebrate and to be grateful. The father took that son into his house, cleaned him up, dressed him in his finest robe, put a ring on his finger, made a great banquet, and oh, what a feast they had, almost as good as the one you had this week. "I want to give glory to God," said the father. "My son was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, and now he's found." Church, it was thanksgiving in the father's house. Thanksgiving Day is a very special day in the lives of this nation and in many of our lives. And as we look back at this year, as we look down the corridors of our heart's memory, all of us can see how good the Lord has been to us. Has he been good to you? One writer said, "O thou whose bounty fills my cup with every blessing meet, I give thee thanks for every drop, the bitter and the sweet. I praise thee for the desert road and for the riverside, for all thy goodness hath bestowed, and yes, all your grace has denied. I thank thee both for smiles and frowns. Thank you for the gain and loss. I praise thee for the future crown, and yes, I praise you for my present cross. I thank thee for both wings of love which stirred my worldly nest, and for the stormy clouds which drove me trembling to thy breast. I bless thee for the glad increase, and yes, for the waning joy, and for this strange, this settled peace which nothing can destroy. I thank you, Jesus." Yes, thank you. Old black man once said, "I got so much to be thankful for. When the Lord tests me, I just test him. When he tries me, I just try him. When he rolls any heavy burden on me, I just roll it back. When he tests me, I test him." Has the Lord been good to you? We've so much to be thankful for. We ought to give him thanks. Someone said thanksgiving is really the fruit of a deliberate resolve to think about God and think of ourselves and our privileges and our responsibilities, and thank God for the bitter and the strife, and thank him for the stress and the pain. Yeah, somebody said, "And if you run out of things to praise him for, just thank God for God." We be grateful even when others you have helped are not. One day, a minister in England, Robert Walpole, in the House of Commons in England, was watching those who were voting against him. And he said to the one who sat near him, "Young man, I will tell you the history of all these men as they come in. That fellow, I saved him from the gallows. And look at his vote. That one from starvation. This other one, son, I promoted." Church, be grateful, even when others you've helped are not. Because nothing is more honorable than a grateful heart. Keep both your eyes open to your mercies. When you drink from the stream of grace, remember where the spring came from. The man who has forgotten to be thankful has fallen asleep. You ought to be grateful. Thank God. This year, God took cancer away from somebody here today. This year, God rescued somebody from poverty.
this year, you ought to be thankful. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it didn't happen. One day some bandits tortured and killed the parents of a little Armenian girl. And then they turned to that little girl and said, "Will you renounce your faith in Jesus and live?" She replied, "I will not." "Then to the dogs," they said. And the little girl was thrown into a kennel of savage and hungry dogs and left there. The next morning, the bandits came back and looked into their surprise. They saw the little girl on her knees praying, and beside her, the largest and most savage of all the dogs, protecting that little girl, snapping at every dog that came near her. And as the men ran away, crying out, "There is a God here. There is a God." I want you to know, when the devil throws you to the dogs, get on your knees. If your eyes can only be opened, you'd see one angel beating back a host of demons. Today you ought to give thanks. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. God is protecting you. He's taking care of you. He's watching over you. He sent angels to surround you. And that is the only reason you are still standing today. So give thanks for God's grace. Give him thanks for goodness.
That brings us to the end of the message that Pastor Phipps has presented today, the message that was entitled Thanksgiving in the Father's House. I do hope that you enjoyed the message and that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like to visit the Seabrook Seventh-day Adventist Church, the address is 8900 Goodluck Road in Lanham, Maryland. That's in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. And you may call the church office if you need directions. That's at 301-577-6342. Also, if you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, you can call the church office. The phone number again is 301-577-6342. And you can ask for program number 114. That's program number 114. Well, that brings us to the close of our program today. Until next time, this is Adrian Westney. I'd like to, as I always do, wish you God's richest blessings for the week. Please, though, join us again for another program. But until then, remember the words that are written in John chapter 10, verse 10. These are the words of Jesus, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life." God bless you.
In your heart.